Thanks for a reminder, Scott.
Oh.
What was the first thing that you said tomorrow I'm sorry I missed it just barely before it was recorded.
Okay, why don't we just recap this so we'll also capture it on the recording also.
Okay.
I was talking about the AG session proposals that we discussed last week. We had five ideas that were outlined, and I posted them on the website under the agenda for the telecon last week. I might move that to a discussion thread. But these are sessions where we're proposing a session, not particular presentations. So if the session is accepted, then people will submit abstracts to that session, and you will, if somebody's interested in helping to organize one of these, to contact me. And so that was that. And Charles, you want to just sort of recap what you talked about also?
Sure. We were just contacted by NBC, who's doing a series on the changing planet. This is in collaboration with Discover Magazine and NSF. It's a climate change town hall venue that they set up. They've already filmed one at Yale. They'll be filming one at GW, and then the third one will be ASU. The one at ASU will be in the fall of 2011, the exact date. And so when we get more information, we would be glad, and it seems like this would be a perfect group to share it with and also get some feedback, because it would make it even better. The theme for us, because we're in the desert, turns out to be water.
Yep.
Back to the conference proposal, is the idea at the AGU conference, is the idea that this group would put together proposals for all five of those suggested topics?
We could potentially, it depends on that. We could potentially put in proposals for all five, yes. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in, if people are interested in working with me and putting those forward. What potentially can happen is that if, let's say they accept all five of them and only five abstracts get submitted to one and 20 get submitted to the other, they might request to make a combined session with all those abstracts, and then you could have when I'm saying session now, I'm talking about a sub-session where the theme of the discussions at different times would be on some of the differences among the different ones that were merged together. So we could potentially submit all five. We could decide that some of them are not viable because we don't have enough people to lead them. There's some decisions to make, and we have some time to do that, but I just wanted to get a sense of who might be interested in working with. I know some people who have contacted me, but I just wanted to get a broader sense of who from the Climate Literacy Network might be interested. And as I said, once the sessions are accepted, then you are also free to submit an abstract to a session, even if you're organizing it, so that you can still present the work that you're involved in also. But this is just, these proposals are a bit broader.
Thanks.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Okay, well, if not, then we'll move on to our featured presentation today. We have Charles Kazalek from Arizona State University, as he's already mentioned. He's going to be talking to us about embedding climate literacy themes in a biology-based website. And so, Charles, I'll let you introduce yourself and move on to the presentation.
Okay, thanks, Tamara. For those of you that may not have heard a little earlier, we're actually not doing PowerPoint. We're actually going to have kind of an exploration. So if you have access to your web browser and have not gone to askabiologist.asu.edu, you might want to go there. And I'll pause. I'll talk a little bit while you're going there. And if you can't find it or if I said it too quickly, just let me know and I'll tell you the address again. Sounds like everybody's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'd like to talk about is where we would like to start embedding climate literacy. And one of the things I've been mulling over, you have a similar situation, maybe not quite as severe as we have. And what I'm referring to is the buzzwords out there, if they're used up front, turn people off. So, for example, the word global warming can often turn off an audience. And in our case, the word for us that's challenging is the big E word, evolution. And so a lot of times, even though we have a lot of content about evolution on our website, we don't actually put it up front in a big, splashy way. And so that's one of the things that I think we can do with Ask a Biologist. I just want to show you how we package things and get you thinking about areas that on Ask a Biologist that are very open for introducing climate literacy. And some of them actually are much more direct than others. First of all, just if you would click on stories at the top navigation, what I'm going to take you into is the world of biology. So what we, and that's in that blue box on the left-hand side, you will notice that we actually have two kinds of stories at the moment, those that deal with science itself and a topic, and the other has to do with scientists. What we have found over the years, and we've been doing this for 14 years now, that are roughly 25 to 30% of the questions that come into us have nothing to do with the real science topic, but everything to do with getting more scientists, and that's because they want to know what it's like to be you. What is it like to walk in your shoes? So I have a tendency to break things up into two categories for the kids. In the meantime, what I'd like to go into, there's a section in here, one on bats. So everybody, if you don't see it, you know, it's kind of like in my classes, you know, if you don't see it, stop me now, and we'll get you caught up. So we're going to go into the world of bats. And on, you'll see that the navigation on the blue side, that's just to know where you are globally. On the right side, there's a big gold box area. And this is where we're basically...
I don't see the world of bats.
Oh, it should be just bats, Tamara.
I'm at something that says world of biology and meet our biologists.
Right, and if you click on world of biology...
All right, well, I haven't done that.
Sorry.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'm coming up my sleeve just a little too fast sometimes. And then you'll see a list of articles that are in there. It starts off with a matter of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I see bats now.
Okay, good. Thanks. Appreciate it. So here we are in the world of bats, and what I want you to see on the right-hand side is this gold box area, and this is where we basically put all our companion content. And sometimes it's sub-pages that have to do with the main article. Sometimes it's a podcast, an audio podcast. In other cases, we have coloring pages for very young. And we have, for not high-order learning, but for vocabulary purposes, we have some puzzles. Mm-hmm. The reason I like to mention this is that when we built this initially, all the categories on the side, bat food, human and bird bat bone comparison, rabies, and echolocation were all in there. The one that got added has to do with white nose syndrome, because that came out with just percolating at the time we had written the story. And so if you click on white nose syndrome, just to give you an idea, you can go into it, you'll see that we have graphics chunking the data so that the kids can learn about it. We also, I'll point out at this point, there's show and hide words to know. This is just the way we've been building the site for a long time. Our target audience is middle school. But to actually get some of the topics we have to talk about, I'm sure we are a little higher level reading level than middle school, and so the built-in vocabulary, built-in dictionary helps us deal with that. So why I mention this is in many areas it could be that you know in this group that is very focused on climate change, they would have an article out there and say, did you know, for example, that this is some of the research we're seeing that has had this impact. And so those can be embedded as part of that article. So you don't even have to write an entire article. It's just you can add that content to it. That makes sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you saying that you would add something, for instance, how climate change is affecting bats or,
right, or
in the gold zone?
Yeah, right. And it could be, you know, is it getting too hot? You know, kind of kid kind of language, but yes. In other words, if there's some really good studies that help link into a particular article, you don't have to think about starting from fresh. We can actually say, yes, we have a venue to add that content in there. Okay?
So you're leading with bats, and by the way, temperature affects bats, bat populations.
Right. It could be that we find out the white nose syndrome, which is a fungus, basically, but we might find out that's predicated by a shift in temperature. We don't know. I mean,
right.
Absolutely not saying that's what it is, but those are the kinds of things that if we have some strong science behind it, it's a great way to introduce it.
Yep.
Okay. So that's basically how we package the stories. Now, Tamara and everybody went on the, in the blue box where it says meet our biologist. I want to go there. And, oh, I don't know. We'll go to B-Movie Maker, which is the second one down. And so the reason I like to mention this to everyone is that sometimes we need to make our stories about the people that are out there doing this type of science. And when we do it, we have a main page, and you'll see on that gold box again, there happens to be a podcast that's linked to it called Bee Movie Maker that goes along with it. And then right below that, there's one called Career Path. You click on Career Path.
I can't find it.
Okay, where are you? And I'll get you there.
Is this under Meet Our Biologist?
Yep, Meet Our Biologist. The second one down is called Bee Movie Maker.
Okay, got it.
Yep. No worries. Everybody, if you get lost and you really want to go along with this, just let me know. It's kind of funny. It's kind of like lecturing in the dark. So here we go. We're in Bee Movie Maker. And then what I wanted to mention is that on the right-hand side again, we have a companion podcast, but we also have this page called Career Path. This, again, is something that goes back to what the kids are often asking. What is it like to be you? And also, kids, we find, really like to get factoids. They like to latch on to those. And so that's that fast fact at the top we started adding more recently. And it's also trying to let the kids know that, yeah, we're a scientist, but that doesn't mean we're superhuman. We grew up just like you. We had dreams just like you. We had classes that were hard. You know, in this case, his hardest class was organic chemistry. I love his first job. I mean, anybody out there wash airplanes for your first job? So these are things that they can latch on to. So I just wanted you to know that there's another venue for getting kids interested in this kind of research, this kind of science, and that's the people that do it. And a lot of times it's really nice because we can talk about the theme that comes up often is travel. You know, a lot of people don't think about it, but if you really want to travel and see places that often other people can't, in particular biologists get to some of the most remote areas in the world, you also, as people that work in the world of climate change, often will get to very remote areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where was the fast facts section that you mentioned?
Sure. If you're on
the... Oh, I see it. Never mind. Got it.
Okay. And so these are just little snippets and things that we want to just embed in your collective minds, that if you want to participate and help us build out a climate part of this, these are some of the areas that work very nicely. Now, we won't go, I don't want to go any, well, let's, while we're here, I want to tell you about two areas that are being built in this section on stories. The first one is called Notes from the Field and Lab. You won't see it there, don't try to drive there, it's in the background. And what we're working on is, it's a blogging area, but it's a collective blogging area. What we've seen is that a lot of times blogs get started, but it does take a lot of energy, and unless you're very active and don't sleep much, if you have a regular job or multiple jobs like several of us, it's hard to maintain a blog. But if you have a group that has a common theme that they would like to blog about, and a colleague of mine, when I said collective blogging, he now calls it clogging. Yeah, I know. I said, yeah, clogging, right? We would like to add some sections. We have social insects. We have things on thermal regulation. We have some groups that have some themes that they'd like to work on. For this group, at first we were thinking, and again, this is kid stuff and trying to avoid some of the typical buzzwords, was wacky weather. And I brought this up to one of my guests on a podcast. His name is David McGonville.
Yep.
David was a great guest, and when I talked to him about this, he came up with a better term. And so now I'm stealing it from him, with his blessing, called global weirdness. And so I want to let you know that we would like to build out a section called global weirdness. And the reason we like that term is it's not as easy as just saying the temperature is rising, the ozone is being depleted, the rainforests in the Amazon are being torn down. There's a lot of things that we need to address that are basically taking us out of any kind of a balanced state on the planet. So it seems to me that global weirdness works. However, I would like to hear from you as a group, is that a problem?
I love it. This is Martha. I think it's a great idea. I've heard it a few times. I don't think anybody owns it. And if nobody owns it, I think it's a great idea, because it'd be a fun place to just clog.
Right, and
yeah,
it turns out that you can't write
it. Just briefly, that's a term we're using at George Mason, and also that Heidi Cullen is using at Climate Central. We find it very useful.
Okay, good.
So you don't find people objecting in general? I mean, to things like, you know, like people object to the term global warming?
Well, I think that this is Mark at CU Boulder. Hunter Levins may have coined the term global weirding as a antidote to global warming.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was Steve Schneider, but yeah, it was called global, he called it global weirding. I think that's what I've been using, actually, because I think it really states it better than, global warming has been sort of co-opted and has baggage with it now, so.
Right.
Yeah, and I just spent 10 days at Scripps Oceanography, and everybody's talking about global weirding. So I think it's a fine, wonderful generic term, and everybody can use it.
And it's kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, you know, that's one of the things you got to keep putting on your kid hat. Okay, so what I'm getting from this is the term is fine, and that possibly we don't have to make a decision now, but if people are interested in participating in that clogging area, they'd be able to get a hold of me, and we would set them up so they'd be able to do it. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Again, I would, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking 5 or 6 people together makes it much easier. And we'll also, there'll be a main page on the notes from the field and the lab so that it'll feed in all the different kinds, the latest posts. So even one of the subsections, like global weirdness, doesn't have to feel like they have to keep filling something out on a regular basis. It won't look like it's stale. That's the big thing. You want to make sure that it looks like something's happening. So on that front page, there'll all be other things still going. They can always go in just to that category. Okay, also on this section, and this one's actually further along, and I didn't even know, I guess it's just a good idea to bounce this off of you. We've been working with the Public Library of Science, mainly in the biology section, so PLOS. And we're building a section now for kids called PLOSable, PLOSABLE. And the idea of it is the teachers they would love to get students and actually we'd love to get the teachers to primary source information. And there have been issues in the past because we didn't have Creative Commons content like we have on PLOS. And so with PLOS, we have the ability to get to these primary sources and write, and basically it's a kid-friendly review that ties directly back to that primary source. So this, again, is just letting you know the plans we're working on, and that it could be something that you, even if you don't do it, you alert us to a really good article that's in PLOS, and it doesn't have to be PLOS biology, that you think would be great to put into this format. And we're working actually with undergraduate students Some of them right now are honor students, and we'd like to work it on down so that it's a great activity for them to work on their communication skills and interpreting a primary source article in that format. It's a challenge.
So is this an existing format to make a description of a resource kid-friendly? Is that what you're saying?
Right, exactly. So, and it's a working, I would say within the next, I don't know, maybe it's about 2 weeks. We're about 2 weeks away where we'll be able to launch it, and I'll point everybody to at the group to
but
it.
But this is an external format or something that you've created?
No, it's inside. It's inside and what we've created for Ask a Biologist.
I see.
The key
okay.
to it is that it links the on the right-hand side in that gold bar again. It goes directly to has the link to and the encouragement to get to the primary article source. Okay. Again, there were two reasons for doing this. One was to get teachers and students to go look at primary sources. The other thing that works out in our favor is getting undergraduate students and our graduate students that are interested in writing public, accessible content that helps them get to that primary source and actually get something out of it. Okay? So we have the stories that are ripe for adding climate literacy content, either a brand new story or existing, anybody could let us know about. We have the clogging area, which is fields from the notes, fields from the lab, and notes from the lab in the field, and then plausible. Those are the key areas. Now, I will mention one thing that we've done already for clean. If you click on the top where it says links, so we have home, activities, stories, images, and links. This is actually an interesting story from our focus groups. We've been actually just finished rebuilding Ask a Biologist, and we've been going for what now, about 8 months in this new format. One of the things I was going to get rid of before we got to have the focus groups was this section here called links. It's old school. Most people don't think that, you know, we created these long ago when there wasn't such a great resource of search engines out there. And so we thought, and it's a maintenance issue, of course, and we thought we could get rid of it. And we had 5 focus groups, and all of them were very, very strong-willed at saying, no, you need to keep that because this is one of the reasons we come to Ask a Biologist. We like to see what you have selected. I never thought of us as being that powerful on it, but it did mean that we couldn't get rid of it, and so we've actually embraced it. One of the things you'll notice, I know that Kim will be talking to you, I think, in the next meeting, and she's actually, their website on the right-hand side, you'll see Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears is being featured at the moment. We also have sections down below that rotate, and I don't know what shows on yours. Mine happens to show zip code zoo and NSDL. But on the left hand side,
that changes depending on who links it.
Well, no, it's not that sophisticated. If you just refresh, it'll just redrop in a new batch because we know we like to feature more than one site. So if you just refresh that page, you'll see it'll change. You know, right now I have virtual habitat and NSDL.
Oh, I see.
And
you just show a couple at a time?
Yes. And we do it because it gets people to come back, but it also we do it because the other feedback we got from teachers is they're in resource overload. Almost, and some of them have called it resource fatigue. It's not that they feel like they need more resources, it's just that they got so many of them, they don't know what to do with what they have at the moment. And one
right.
of the things I really liked about Clean, and I was so impressed with your group, is you have done such a great job of vetting content. I don't think I've had a group that has done such a good job, with maybe the exception of Smile does a pretty you know, tedious review of content. And And I think that's to your advantage. You know, one of the things when I was on one of the calls, the concern was, you know, maybe you didn't have that many in there yet. And what we're hearing from teachers is I really don't think it's the issue of how much. I think it's how good, and I think that's what you're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to reiterate that I think you're doing an awesome job, and I think it's good. So in the case of clean, I would like to build a more featured button here that certainly can bounce around with NSDL and Virtual Habitat. If there's a really good opportunity to be featuring you in the right-hand corner, we would do that. At the moment, if you go to the All Links or Biology Links, you'll notice, let me do Biology Links so we're all on the same page. And that's in that blue box on the left. If you click on the environment, I didn't pull out climate on its own. And I only did that, again, trying not to push the idea of climate. I mean, the issue is, it is the environment. It's a driving force of the environment. So you'll notice that clean is there and NOAA is there. But when I link to the Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network, if you click on it, you'll notice I take the teachers directly to your resources, not to your front page.
Hmm.
And I did that because when I got to your front page, I had more trouble. I mean, I had to scroll down to the bottom to figure out that there was that content there. And since the audience that comes to us is really looking for that sort of thing, that's where we link to. And since you already have the ability, if they want to know more, they can just click on clean and get back to the front page. That's the reason. So I just wanted to let you know why that occurred
okay.
that way. One of the questions I have from a graphic and a standpoint is, what kind of, do you have a button that if you press your back button here and get back to our page, our links page, and you actually go to the main links page by, you just click on links again, there's a square format, it's kind of like a 4-3 format that we have in there. Do you have a button or a graphic element for clean that fits there, or do I have the ability to create one and send it to you, to Tamara, to say, is this okay for me to use this in this
you
way?
You mean in the yellow or orange box?
Well, there's two ones. One is the yellow orange box, and the other would be in the main, right underneath links on the main, if you click on links at the top of the top menu, where where you have zip code zoo or video, you know, right now we've become...
We have a number of logos we can share.
Perfect. Okay, that's what I'd like to have. Okay?
Okay.
So, other than that, I'm looking at my notes here to make sure that I've gone through everything. I will tell you that we also just had, we do a lot with our researchers to embed broader impacts into, and using Ask a Biologist instead of recreating the wheel somewhere else. And we have a new researcher that does on adaptation to climate change. He's a thermal regulation biologist. And works with ectotherms, which, 99% of all the life, you know, animal life is basically ectotherms on this planet. And so changing in climate is pretty severe. So he has some funding that we'll be building out some sections there. And other than that, I think I have covered everything. If you have questions or suggestions, we're open.
Well, thank you very much. This is really great. Are there areas, this is Tamara, are there areas where you particularly think that there might be places where we can insert climate content that you would like us to think about?
The problem with that for me is I'm sure there's several areas. I didn't sit down and pull those out. I should have probably gone through. I mean, bats are, it could be one area. We just need to go look through those stories. And I have no problem sharing in the future. I could just send an email to you, and you guys can decide if these are ones that you'd like to work on. In particular, I think the area of the notes from the field and the lab and the clogging area is especially as active as this group is. I don't know if anybody, I have my Outlook configured so that all the clean emails, clean meaning you guys, I said that to someone one day, And they said, you know, they thought it meant, you know, they were clean. They didn't have anything nasty in them. And I said, all the clean emails, they come into this one folder. And since we've started this, I don't know if you've tracked it, I have 812 emails.
Yep.
And this is not a complaint. This means you guys are really an active group. So I figured if anybody's going to do some clogging and keep it going, it would be you.
Well, you know, as you develop news stories, I mean, we can have people go in and, you know, as they're interested in looking at existing stories, but as you're developing news stories, you might send an email to this listserv and ask for if there's anybody who would like to add that perspective.
That's a good idea. And to jump chart it, we can actually go to some of the old ones as well. No, that's a very good idea. I think one of the things I like about it in particular is that no one feels like they have to write the whole story. You know, there's a lot of weight already there, and you're adding that next bit that whether, you know, if someone comes in, and what you'll find often with astrobiologists, the searches from the search engines don't often land on the front page, quite frankly. They often end up on a subpage, but it's not a problem because all of it's linked together. It's all chunked together, so they can find their way around. So if they're out looking for white nose syndrome, they could end up on the bats, and if there's a good link and a good story about what's going on with the climate or this global weirdness, that would be something we could add in there as well. So, Mark, I didn't realize that you were a friend of David's.
Of McConville?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known him for a number of years.
He's often on the call, in fact.
No.
Well, yeah, from time to time he does contribute to the discussion for sure.
Yeah, I'm
passionate about Buckminster Fuller and the Fuller Challenge and so forth.
Yep.
Well, I've got him. I'm hoping to have his podcast up fairly soon. Unfortunately, I've just been swamped with so many projects lately that, you know, astrobiologist is my passion, but unfortunately, it's not my primary gig. And yeah, I heard a laughter there, so I know that laughter is because everybody else feels the same way, right?
Absolutely.
One side note before we put this to bed, so to speak. There's another bit of technology that we've been working on at ASU, in particular with the Smithsonian Institute and the Smithsonian down in Panama. And it's building a global classroom. And what that entails is new video technology that is amazingly advanced for multiple kinds of devices over consumer-grade connections. The technology is called, the company is called Vidyo, and it's V-I-D-Y-O, and it's out of New Jersey. That's kind of how you remember it, you know, Vidyo. We're excited about it because we're linking in to our students with students and researchers down in Panama at the STRI Institute down there, Smithsonian Institute for Tropical Research. I bring it up to this group because you're so active. It's something to possibly look into whether one of the host institutions, we might even be able to do it once the university picks it up globally, which they're planning on doing. The advantage to it is that you can do these very large teleconference meetings, sharing content, and with amazing quality. And unlike WebEx, and some of the others that people might have used, or Adobe Connect. We also use Adobe Connect. It's a completely different experience. This is just a side note. It's just because you collaborate so much. It also has a really big impact because we're big on sustainability, and so as far as the carbon footprint, it definitely is going to be reducing our carbon footprint here, even for local travel between our different campuses. We have campuses that are up to 40 miles away from each other that often people would have to drive and have a meeting, and that'll be gone.
Interesting.
Okay.
So I do have a question or kind of a comment, and this, as you probably know, is the International Year of Forests, and it's also the International Year of Chemistry, And I think that there's a very interesting opportunity to help people connect the dots, if you will, between forests and chemistry and climate and carbon cycle. And you guys are kind of uniquely positioned to maybe help tell that story, since you know biology is all about carbon in one way or another. And have you guys given any thought, or maybe we can have a brainstorm session at some point to try to develop some materials or leverage things that are already out there to help tell the story and kind of take advantage of the teachable moment of these twin international years.
I think it's a great idea. In particular, we really love it if... is there actually going to be a day or a week that they're going to pull out during the year as a big focus?
Well, I'm not sure about that. They both launched in January or early February, so they're kind of brand new. In terms of whether they have any particular days, I don't off the top of my head know that.
Ask that because we've stolen a page out of Google. And we don't have an event at the moment, but that Ask a Biologist logo, the type treatment that's up on our site, we have days, birthdays, there's Mendel, there's Darwin, there would be the DNA day. We modify those or for a week, week-long celebrations, we put those up there and to highlight things. And certainly the stuff stays beyond that, but we've been working on trying to build in changes to the site that encourage people to come back and explore to see what the latest thing has happened without having to do a lot of extra work each year. So
right.
International Year of the Forest is a perfect place to do it. We're working on an article which you think you should have up already on photosynthesis, and it's actually called Snacking on Sunlight.
Great.
It's kid-based. This would be another place, this would be a perfect subpage from there to work with. It also comes into this, the issue of the carbon cycle. Mark, you and I were at that AAAS workshop, and part of the Snacking on Sunlight is going to be dealing with those videos that we saw that were so problematic, where people don't understand about carbon fixation. And,
right.
And it's really curious. We've got another, yet another project with NIH that deals with, in this case, the body. And the idea of our air, just simply why we breathe in oxygen, and, well, in this case, air, oxygen is only a smaller part of it, isn't clear to anybody. And so it's not surprising that if they don't even know why we're breathing in and out, they know we need it to live, but they often don't know what we're doing with it. So I would say send me a note. I'll send you a note. Let's work on it. And the Snacking on Sunlight should be ready in less than a month, and we should, while we're developing it, I'll give you access. And matter of fact, anybody who wants to play inside Ask a Biologist, this is all built in Drupal.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to give you more work. Trust me. I know you guys are busy. So, but I just wanted to let you know that if you wanted to be in here and play, as far as, we create an article, Snacking on Sunlight, and Mark says, hey, I'd like to give a rough draft of how to do tie it into the International Year of Forests, and I say, oh, great, here. You could actually just type it in and start building it in the background. And it doesn't get published until one of our publishers, editors or administrators, so that's okay. So just to let you know.
Will the Snacking on Sunlight show up in the stories links?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And it'll also, the front page rotates through the different stories periodically, so we have that. As much as we've done, I feel like we've barely begun. And so we keep at it, and I'm always thrilled to broaden the articles so that they reach a, you know, an audience that typically you don't think about. So, Mark, you and I want to email with me and we'll talk and we'll.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, thank you for bringing it up. I think it's great.
Yeah, and also I'm really intrigued by your comment about why you didn't link to the Clean homepage, because, you know, we've wrestled with that a bit ourselves, and if you might be willing to put a few comments down just on sort of your observations, that would be very helpful.
Well, there's a really nice book out. If you haven't checked it out or found it, it's called Don't Make Me Think. and it's for web design. And it's one of those things that we struggle with, those that develop websites all the time. And the primary reason I link to those is the audience that comes to us is typically looking for content, things to do with either as a student or as a teacher or as a parent that wants to do things with their kids. And so the reason the link went directly to that area is that cut to the chase for us. And so that's why I did it. And it's not like I do that on every site, but I did the same thing with NOAA. NOAA's site wasn't necessarily very easy to find. Their education area that really has the content. And so I had to kind of go into one of their sub areas as well. So I'm glad.
Well, this is Tara. So if these teachers wanted to see the professional development opportunities, which also appear on the front page, they wouldn't really know that from where you send them.
Right. Let me tell you, even though our site is, we don't run cookies, and we're, because of the audience, and so, you know, getting your demographics is more challenging, we have done surveys, and so then they're done by emails because we have over 25,000 questions we've answered, and part of our guidelines say that from time to time we might send you an email to see how we're doing, and from time to time we use that as an opportunity to reach out to people who have used the site and get some insight about the audience. And so our audience is 60% students, 20% teachers, and 20% are parents / lifelong learners. So again, I suppose when I err on the side of getting into some activities, it's because I think that the kids really want to cut to the chase on that rather than, you know, looking at professional development.
Oh,
that's,
I see.
A really good,
okay,
point.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was mostly students that go to your site.
Yeah, well, you know, we built it a long time ago, and the way we built it was, I call it a passive site, and it doesn't mean doesn't do anything. It means that we tried to build it so that it didn't require a teacher to initiate the use of the site. And now we actually have taken up the charge, like most anybody in this arena, to extend the learning experience throughout the day. And so now we see ourselves trying to build content that maybe a teacher introduces in the classroom, but it's exciting enough and has enough meat to it that the kids can go home and continue exploring.
Right.
So those are kinds of the areas that we sit in. Now, was it Tamara, were you talking about the professional development? Is that you?
Yeah.
So an easy fix for that is we could add, and I would still leave that link, and what I would do is I would put something like, in parentheses, activities, or in another one, professional development, something like that. If that was something that you think that would be missed by us sending them to that subpage. So it's a good point.
Yeah. Well, there's on the front page, aside from the background material about the project, the three main things are, there's a set of pages about teaching about the climate literacy.
Right.
Which sort of gives some context to it. And then there's a community page, which basically sends people to the Climate Literacy Network. And the professional development activity. So, and then the collection itself. So these are three main sections.
Right.
So.
Right, and so, and as you can tell, then it depends on which audience you're trying to reach.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, and so you can see how mine got skewed the direction I went.
Right.
and it doesn't, it's not good or bad per se. It's just it's a challenge. And again, the harder part for me is there's a lot of really good stuff out there, but I'm listening to my teachers, and the teachers that they're saying, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. And I don't know if you've noticed, if you've done very many of these focus groups and then follow up with the teachers later on, how many of them embedded into the classroom or actually keep using your content is not a high percentage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I don't have a magic answer for. I do know that when we had the NSDL had a really nice workshop, two-parter on with the what's the group that's doing, does the big survey? I can't think of the name all of a sudden. Teacher and student survey every year. It'll come to me. Anyway, they when they were going through the survey results, now I've lost my train of thought, what I was going to say. Sorry. But the issue for us is still trying to, you know, get our audience, oh, I know what it was, the idea of how much content they can absorb and how much time they take with them. So, anyway, I think you guys are doing great, and as far as Ask a Biologist goes, you see how we've laid things out. The welcome mat is out. If there's collaboration we need to deal with, and in particular our scientists here or your scientists, you know, linking. A good example is Mark mentioning the International Year of the Forest. That's perfect. I was actually thinking we have a researcher here right now that's been doing a lot of work up in the Pacific Northwest. I immediately thought I'd need to go talk to Jeff Kopatic and ask him if he knew about this and, you know, what we need to do. So these are always good things to deal with. And if it's part of the learning experience as far as biology, then it's a no-brainer. You know, it becomes really
easy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be willing to be on a call that was trying to connect the CleanNet to what you're doing. This is Martha.
Okay. Martha?
Yep, Martha Shaw.
Okay, Martha. Well, I'll send a note, you know, Tamara, we could, at Mark, whatever, we could work on some of the nuances of this and work through some details offline.
Sure.
For this. And for that matter, I could show you, introduce you to video also and let you experience that as well.
Yeah, I was wondering whether we could sort of see a demonstration of that at some point.
Absolutely.
That would be interesting.
You know, Mark, you're in Boulder, right? Tamara, you're at
Boston.
Yeah, Boston. No, that's perfect. All these, you know, it's kind of great. You know, we have meetings now. It's not unusual for someone to be in D.C., Smithsonian in D.C., and someone else down in Panama in the jungle.
Right.
So, no, that'd be great. All right. Anything else, gang?
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much. We will talk again next week, and for those that are interested, we recorded this session so people can listen to it later. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.